Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. If you have a Bible question or an issue you'd like to discuss, we invite you to call right now. The toll-free number is 844-322-2742, good in the U.S. and in Canada. Again, 844-322-2742. We are live on the air and online, so you can get an immediate answer to your question or discuss the issues that are important in your life right now. So we have opened up those phone lines, and again, the toll-free number is 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, everybody. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. As we look at the world today and all that's going on out there, we're scratching our heads wondering what in the world is the problem and how can we fix it? How can we correct it? How can we make this world a wonderful place to live in? And when you really get down to kind of the bottom line, the world is in the mess it's in because it doesn't know God.
Right.
It has no earthly idea what God is like. And the same was true for all of us before we came to know Christ. We didn't know what God was like. But when we saw Jesus, when we encountered Jesus, we started understanding the true God, what he was really all about, what he is all about, how he really loves us, cares for us. He's for us, not against us. All of those things started coming into our hearts and minds as we started to grow in our relationship with Christ Jesus. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's many passages in the New Testament that tell us why Jesus came. You know, God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish and have everlasting life. We know that's one reason why Jesus came. Jesus said himself, I've come that you might have life and have it to the full. But there's another passage that has always intrigued me, and it's John 1:18. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known. Why did Jesus come to earth? To make God the Father known to us. Why? Because we didn't know anything about God the Father. We were lost as far as our understanding of God was concerned. And it's interesting, you know, he said to his disciples, there was that great statement, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Anyone who believes in me, you know, I'll right. make the path to the Father and that sort of thing. And he said, you know the way to go. And Philip said, we're clueless. And Jesus responded to him, if you've seen me, anyone who's seen me has seen the Father. You know what the Father's like simply by looking at Jesus Christ. But the world out there doesn't know the truth about God. It is absent out in the world. We see that back in the book of Acts, Acts 17, as Paul started to engage the philosophers of the day at Mars Hill in Athens.
Right.
And he made this statement, I notice you people are a religious people. And yet there's a statue there with an inscription to an unknown God. And let me tell you, I'm here to make that God known to you. What does the world need? How do we pierce the darkness? By bringing the light of the knowledge of God as revealed in the person of Christ to anybody, anywhere, any place.
Yes.
That's what's going to make a difference.
Absolutely. And that's what we're about here at Basic Gospel. We want you to be a part of it. Give us a call if you have a question or something you'd like to discuss. That toll-free number, 844-322-2742. If you live in the U.S. or Canada, that's a good number, 844-322-2742.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're going to start in New Jersey and talk to Anthony listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Anthony. Welcome to Basic Gospel.
Yes, God bless you, gentlemen. My question today is that in the Old Testament, it talks about that God would make you the head and not the tail if you obeyed him. And then in Christ, you know, Jesus, paid for it all for us. How do we, as Christians, walk as the head and not the tail and enforce that in our work atmospheres and our lives when every time the world is pushing us, trying to push us out, cast us aside, push us down, gang up against us, have their cliques, do their thing, to always try to push us away so that we always look like the tail? How do we how do I through the word or through the spirit, how to overcome that and to really walk as the head and not the tail?
Well, I would say two things, Anthony. There is love that God has called us to, attitude of humility that God has called us to, seeing others as better than ourselves and looking out for their needs over and above our own. That doesn't mean that we forget our own needs or that we just push ourselves down and make ourselves to be a doormat for the world to walk all over us. It simply means these are the attitudes that God has called us to walk in as believers. And there's only one way for those attitudes to manifest themselves in us, and that's through faith in Jesus. And that's through finding ultimate contentment in Jesus. So I think we start there. Let's find ultimate contentment in Christ, realizing that, you know, what the world has to offer doesn't compare to what we have in Jesus. So I think that can give us confidence in this world. You know that you have something the world doesn't. You know you have the knowledge of God and the world doesn't. You know you have been connected to the love of Christ and the world hasn't. You know that you have forgiveness of sins and the world doesn't know that. You know that you stand in the righteousness of Christ. The world doesn't know that. You know that God is for you, not against you. And so as those truths start to sink in and begin to renew the mind, that can give you confidence in this world that you belong to God himself, that you are a part of the kingdom, that you are a child of God, and whatever the world says, nothing is ever going to change that. That's a by grace through faith reality. And then knowing that God is for you and not against you, I think you simply walk by faith and you leave the results of things in God's hands, not trying to produce results through human effort. And I think that's one of the big challenges that we have. We try to take things in our own hands and make things happen instead of trusting Christ to work all things together for good.
And I think that's why we get tired and exhausted and frustrated, because it's not working, because we're trying to make it happen some way.
Yeah,
and
you're
it's
right.
Not working. It's, no.
Yeah, so that's where you have to say, you know, the results of this are in God's hands. And the timing of things is also in God's hands. You know, I was in a situation several years ago. It was one of the most difficult situations that I ever went through. And I kept asking myself, how is the love supposed to win out in this situation? And naturally, I came up with a way that love was going to win out. And so I started putting all of my effort in trying to produce that result. And I had taken it out of God's hands and put it squarely into my own. And it didn't pan out so well for me. And so I'm saying,
sorry to laugh, but I've been there. That's why I'm laughing. Okay?
Yeah. So it's we've got to come to the point and say, Lord, you have a bigger plan. You have a bigger idea about these things. You know all the pieces of this puzzle. I mean, quite frankly, Anthony, we only see a little tip of the iceberg, don't we? But God knows all things. And so if we can just rest and leave things into his hands, knowing that he loves us, that he cares for us, that he's promised to work all things together for good, I think that's going to give us the confidence and contentment we need just to live everyday life trusting him.
It's so simple, but it's so hard.
Yes. Yes, no? It is. But you know, that's, I think, faith, learning to trust the Lord, it's foreign to us. When we first come to Christ, we don't know what that is. And so I think just over time, we start to really get more and more comfortable what a life of faith in Jesus is all about. So just keep walking down that road, my friend.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Hey, thanks for your call.
Thanks, Anthony.
Bye-bye. Well, we're going to go to Timothy in Brooklyn, New York. Hi, Timothy.
Hi, Bob.
Welcome.
It's not
Brooklyn, New York, in New York City.
Manhattan. Well, there you go.
Hi, Tim.
Well, it's so good to hear from you. Thanks for calling today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, let me apologize first for not calling earlier. I just wanted to commend you on this book, Simple Gospel, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. It is wonderful.
Well, thank you so much.
I have been reading books on grace for the last 25 years, and I must say to you, this is one of the best. It is comprehensive, it's informative, refreshing, sound, easy to understand. You articulate the gospel with such ease and facility, and I just really am very grateful for it. And I would just like to say that anybody who hasn't read this book yet, a Christian, is a must-read. And even if you're not a Christian, I would recommend very thoroughly that you read this book because you will come to know the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I love your examples, Bob, and particularly the one about Herschel Walker.
Yes.
He's from a little place not too far from my wife's home in Georgia, Wrightsville, Georgia.
That's right. That's right.
About it. Yeah, and I like the way you talk about it, the difference that it made when he came to the University of Georgia, the football team, and it transformed the whole team. But I thank God that we have one who transformed our lives, and not only that, but Herschel Walker left the University of Georgia, right?
That's right.
But we have one who is with us forever. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, man, that's just the best news ever, Timothy. And, you know, that's one of my favorite stories in the book as well. You know, I was a senior at the University of Georgia when Herschel Walker was a freshman. And, you know, Georgia had been a good football team and kind of a middle-of-the-pack SEC team, and those were the expectations for that particular year until Vince Dooley decided to play Herschel Walker as a freshman. And when he went in that first game and he bowled over who was that guy? I can't remember him now, but used to play safety for the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Just ran right over him and pranced into the end zone. The whole expectations for the season changed at that moment because one guy showed up. And I think that's the same for us as believers. Jesus Christ has shown up. He's the God of this universe. And as you said, he's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And as we trust him, I think we can expect incredible things from him to do in and through us. As we just simply walk by grace through faith in this world. Timothy, thank you so much for calling today.
Yeah, absolutely. Those are wonderful words of encouragement and basically endorsement from a pastor of many, many years. And so, Tim, it didn't surprise me at all that Bob worked in a sports story in the book.
Yes, yes. I have one other question. How did you come up with that title?
Well, Timothy, we started with the idea of a book called Basic Gospel just to connect to the radio broadcast. I sent that out to Harvest House, the publisher, and they weren't real keen on that as a book title, and so they suggested maybe Simple Gospel. And then I sent back and said, that's pretty good. What about Simply Grace? And so they said, well, that's a pretty good idea, too. We'll just have to decide which way to go. And then I decided to throw it out to some of our listenership, and they overwhelmingly said, well, why pick one or the other? Just make it Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. And I copied that string of Facebook posts and Twitter feeds and sent that out to Harvest House, and they said, well, that's going to be the name of the book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. But, Timothy, we sure appreciate your call.
Yes, indeed.
And Timothy Riles is the pastor at Beulah Baptist Church. He's been there for, I think, 30 years, 25 plus years. He is a counselor to me. He is a person that I confide in, and he is the wisest. I'm just going to say it out there. He's the wisest person I know. And if you're looking for a church in the New York area, consider the Beulah Baptist Church. And going to hear Timothy Riles teach. He's a phenomenal teacher. He brings the Word of God to life, in such a fresh and exciting way. And the music is outstanding. You will just absolutely love it. And Timothy, again, thank you so much for your call today.
Great to hear from you, Timothy.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Oceanside, New York, and talk to Maria. Hi, Maria.
Hi, God bless you, gentlemen.
Thanks for your call today. What's on your mind?
Well, I have two questions, which we have a little Bible study at my sister's house, a little family, and I have two disagreements. They say that Christian people are sick because they have a little bit of faith. And if they had a bigger faith, they would not be sick.
Well, so, what do you think they would say about the Apostle Paul?
That's what I say. I'm like, yeah. That is not true. I strongly disagree with you both with that, because there's a lot of chapters in the Bible where God used the sickness to glorify Jesus' name.
Yeah, you're right, Maria. And there's this passage in the book of Hebrews, and it's back in Hebrews chapter 11. And if you know Hebrews chapter 11, you know it's kind of the chapter about the Old Testament saints, and where all of these saints were commended for their faith. And some, you know, some experienced incredible blessing, others experienced incredible persecution. But to all, they were each commended for their faith. So the faith didn't necessarily change the circumstances of life. It just gave them an anchor to go through whatever experiences they were having in life. And the same is true for us today. There are many people who are going to walk by faith that are going to experience incredible earthly blessings, so to speak, financial blessing and health and prosperity and those sort of things. It's not their faith that's bringing that about. That's just the circumstances of life that are coming to them. But even within those circumstances, they're experiencing trouble. No one escapes trouble in this world. No one, not one single individual. Jesus said that in this world, you're going to have trouble. There's others that just seem to have bad luck that follows them. They're always in trouble, it seems like, experiencing one adversity after another. But they still have Christ, and they'll be commended for their faith. And so we just have to recognize that even in the midst of circumstances, regardless of what they are, we can experience peace. Our souls can be at rest, and we can have healing there, knowing that at some point we're going to get brand new bodies. Now, that doesn't mean that God can't heal our bodies today. He does, and we hear testimonies about that. But that's not the primary goal for God. The primary goal for God is first to give us life everlasting, and secondly, to give peace to our souls. And that's only available to us as we learn to walk by faith in whatever circumstance we're in the love and grace of Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yes. And another question was brought up in the class was that there's one of them say that the sickness, all sickness, comes from the devil. And I say that is wrong also. There's sickness that we ourselves, by the way we take care of a body, we're the one who caused that sickness. There's sickness that even God did to a couple of leaders, In the Bible that I read, that it says, you know, that he was the one who put that sickness in them to glorify his name in certain reason, the certain purpose. And also the devil, but it's not only the devil that...
Well, here's the deal, Maria. I mean, when sin entered into the world back at the Garden of Eden, Satan standing there at that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and he's saying things to Adam and Eve, particularly to Eve, and in the course of that conversation, he made that tree look desirable to her, and she talked with Adam, and they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They chose sin and death. And along with that, that death, first and foremost, was spiritual. They forfeited the life of God, and then their bodies died some, 800, 900 years later. And that set the course for all of humanity, that all of us were going to die physically at some point in time. Only those who are here when Christ returns will never go through that physical death, but everyone else will. That's a result of sin in that garden that is spread to all of mankind, and as a result, death is spread to all of us. Well, in that process of decay for the body, there are numerous ways that that body decays. Sickness is one of those ways that our bodies decay. And, that's just part of this world that we live in. And that's all going to change one day. God's going to bring in a new world. And there's not going to be sickness. There's not going to be sin. There's not going to be death. There's not going to be tears. There's not going to be all those things that we experience here and now. But sin, when it entered into the world and death entered into this world, it changed everything. And so we're all subject to that. These bodies are subject to the effects of sin and death, and sickness is just part of that. And sometimes we bring it upon ourselves. Sometimes God allows it for his glory and for his reasonings. Just have to entrust all of those things into the Lord's hands. But Maria, I think you're on the right on the right track, and you keep pointing your family and your friends to the love and grace of Jesus Christ, and helping them see that nothing, absolutely nothing, whether sickness, whether adversity, can separate them from the love of God in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Well, thanks for your call, Maria. We certainly appreciate it.
Yes, indeed.
Let's quickly go to Calgary, Alberta, and talk with Miles. Hi, Miles.
Hi, Bob. Hey, I'd just like to share with you a quote from a professor of law at Ohio State University. His name is Grant Gilmore, and he wrote a little book back in 1974 called Death of Contract. And in it, he says, "In hell, there will be nothing but law." And I'm thinking that is so true. And life on earth seems to be becoming more like hell with all these additional laws we have to live with and try to keep everybody honest. What do you think of that?
Well, I think in a world system, I mean, that's the only way. And that's why Christ came, to show us a different way, the way of by grace through faith in Jesus. That's the newness of life that we live in. Apart from that, the only thing that we have is rules and regulations and legalism, so to speak, and fear and uncertainty. So that's just part and parcel of the world that we live in. But thanks be to God through Jesus Christ that we have a new way of by grace through faith in Jesus.
Yes, indeed.
Well, Miles, as always, thanks for your call, my friend.
Yes, indeed. Folks, please remember Basic Gospel in your giving. It's your prayers and gifts that keep the love of the Lord Jesus Christ on the airwaves and online. And you can help us get the word out by clicking donate on any page at basicgospel.net or by speaking with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, 844-412-2742. For a gift of any amount this month, you'll get a copy of Pierce the Darkness, our response to recent Supreme Court rulings and other events that have gone on in this country. Again, click donate at basicgospel.net or speak with our operator at 844-412-2742. Again, 844-412-2742. Well, thanks for joining us for this edition of Basic Gospel, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, for the absent Richard Pfeiffer, and for the ministry team, this is Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.